the issue of marginality came when we're talking about the marginal literature movement in Brazil, and that is sort of a rupture in the literary tradition in Brazil, where the topic of violence and marginality, in other words, the populations that are outside of the status quo, they've been portrayed. It's not new that they're portrayed in literature. They've been portrayed for a very long time. But they've always been portrayed, almost always been portrayed, from the perspective of middle class. In other words, the middle class intellectual or an artist, well-intentioned or not, will describe, will talk and portray these realities in literature and culture in general. But in the 90s and especially 2000, from 2000 on, there is a very interesting phenomenon, that is literature produced by these populations who have been excluded from the written word, you know, traditionally, and there's a whole history about this exclusion, it's not by chance. And all of a sudden, they're taking this tool of exclusion, turning it around, and writing their own literature. So it's a very interesting phenomenon in that it's bringing out these other voices from a different perspective, from the inside out. By the way, it's happening in many places. In Mexico, there's some very interesting experiments also in Tepito, for example, in Nezahualcóyotl, Iztapalapa, the groups of writers that are doing this, what would be the equivalent of this marginal literature, they don't like the term, but would be the equivalent of this, writing from within.
Those are all neighborhoods of Mexico City.
In fact, a few years ago, 3 years ago, we did a little anthology, short writers, a literary group in Tepito, which is one of these writers, considered one of the most dangerous and toughest neighborhoods in Mexico City. Marginality is sort of an identity that you take on. In fact, there are many people in this movement in Brazil don't like the term. They don't like marginal literature. They prefer divergent literature or peripheral literature. The people in Tepito and the neighborhoods in Mexico City, they didn't like the term either when we were discussing the possibilities of naming whatever it is that they were doing. But I think, regardless of the name, what there is this phenomenon of writing from within by these populations that have been pushed aside or excluded or in some way stepped on, you know, by an increasingly polarized society.
This term, the people from below, those from below, those from above, those are Zapatista terms, and the Zapatistas listen and speak from below.
Yeah.
And also, they don't want to destroy those who are above, but they want to destroy the hierarchies that keep them above. We were talking about marginalidades, that's a very geographical term, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same concept, and you can call it, you know, the terminology is always very difficult.
Mm.
And of course, I think you hinted at the fact that when you talk about those from below and those from above, you sort of divide the world in two, and the world is not so easily divided. There is a fact that capitalism is producing an immense gap and a growing gap between the haves and the have-nots. And in fact, I think one of the most scary features of the current stage of capitalism is the systematic production of an excedent of people who no longer fit in the system. Traditionally, capitalism always produced sort of a surplus of cheap labor. But now this is a surplus of people who don't fit the system, even as cheap labor. In this situation, which looks entirely desperate, because as this happens, the powers, economic powers, only do more of the same and more drastically and more brutally. And so what seems to be a flaw in the system is not really doing anything to improve the flaw, but only to deepen it. I think the only solution, you know, the true solutions to this are coming from what the Zapatistas call below, Why? Because they are the ones who are suffering the effects of the system in their skin, in their everyday life. Look at, for example, the literature by, say, Jorge Amado, in the 40s, 60s in Brazil, the 30s. The main topic, one of the topics, the recurring topics, is the exploited worker fighting to end exploitation. If you look at marginal literature today, written by the people from peripheries and favelas in Brazil, this character has changed entirely. This character is now someone who looks back at the time in his life when he was an exploited worker as a utopian moment of happiness that can no longer be, because there are no jobs. So in the midst of this decomposition, the only ones I think that are able to come up with alternatives are those who see it. Because there is this whole mediatic make-believe world that blinds the privileged people. And I'm talking about privileged, you know, middle class and up. It blinds them entirely to this reality. We see it. And part of this blinding goes on by intolerance, this talk of security and the need for security and the dangers of the masses and so on. You know? So with this blindness, where does the answer come from? Where does an alternative come from? And it's an urgent need for an alternative, because this is falling apart.